The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciple and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal places. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. So it's that time of year again, isn't it? When all of a sudden we see all kinds of strangely shaped boxes and the colors that are there, just there to drive us absolutely crazy, right? We have all these empty boxes laying around the house and ones that one day, at some point soon, something is going to go in those things, right? Are you excited? I'm excited. I've always been excited about this because here's the reality. I, over time, have become an expert on what is in the box. You know, sometimes I could check it out, look through it, shake it up a little bit, and I would just know. You know, if I found a big box of that was about like this and it felt full, you know what that is? It's clothes. And if I found one that was like this big and skinny, you know what that is? It's a video game. Then something that shakes real loud, fidget toy, because, you know, I'm me. And this used to get on my family's nerves pretty badly, that I would just come up and the big surprise that they had waiting for me, I would already figure it out. And so what they started doing was they started making it a little more challenging and making some oddly shaped boxes, you know? So I didn't go in and go, "Oh, that big long one, that's a fishing rod, you know? Oh, the one shaped like a football, sure enough, a football." Turns out that's not how it was. And so one year, I wanted, more than anything else, a truck. I wanted a truck for Christmas. Now, clearly, there were not going to be any boxes with trucks wrapped up. You know, I mean, I don't have a house that big, nor do I have a tree that large that can house a truck. And so, you know, I looked at all the boxes and I thought, that's a pair of jeans. That's a shirt. Oh, there's video game. Hold that one for later. You know, but there was this one box. This one oddly shaped box. And I figured, you know what that is? That's going to be a truck. Maybe it'll be keys, or maybe it'll just be a little toy truck, and then I'll run outside and there will be a big bow on it. I couldn't wait, you know? So that Christmas morning, I delayed my anticipation as long as I could. I opened the jeans and I opened the shirt and the newest Call of Duty game and all of that, and I waited for the last one, the very last one, and I tore into it and I looked in, and you know what it was? Socks. They didn't even match. And they were girl socks. And you know, that's just horrible, isn't it? When you have all of these expectations and you bring these expectations to something, and I learned that big expectations can lead to big disappointments. I grew up in the foothills of North Carolina, and I know this may sound strange to some of you South Carolinians, but when they called for snow, a lot of times it actually would snow. But then I moved down here, and the weatherman said, oh, you know, there's a 100% chance of snow tomorrow. Awesome. I don't need to do any work. I'm ready to go because, hey, nothing's going to be happening tomorrow anyway. And we already have all the bread and milk we could use for the next 6 hours. And so we're set. And so I wake up the next morning, I fling open the windows, and it's either bright and sunshiny outside or it's pouring down rain. Expectations, disappointment. Or maybe it's that job that you interviewed for. You know the one, everything went great. You know, they asked the questions and you knew the answers before they even asked them. You nailed it. You know, the guy, the interviewer was just laughing with you at all the jokes. And you're like, this is it. This is the one. Only to get that phone call that they've given it to somebody else. Expectation to disappointment. Then there's grades. You know, you study real hard. And when the test finally came, you rocked it. You knew it. You knew everything there was on that test, and you know you got them all right. And then when you get it back, your big A is a C. Expectation to disappointment. But you know, things feel really weird with expectation because sometimes it's not what we expected. Interestingly enough, if we were expecting to fail that test and got a C, same grade, totally different feeling, right? That's the way it is with expectation. When we expect something, it's all about what we think, how we assume something is going to turn out. And that's exactly what we see going on in today's gospel reading. We're in the third Sunday of Advent, and so let me take you on the little journey that we've been on so far. On the first Sunday of Advent, we talked about expecting the return of Christ. When's that going to happen? We don't know. God, only God knows. We can expect that it's going to happen, but we can't expect when it's going to happen. And then last week we had Children's Sunday, which was absolutely phenomenal. But had we been reading the lessons in the lectionary, what we would have heard is we would have heard about John the Baptist telling people what to expect. He said, repent. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Make straight his paths. He said, I baptize you with water, but one is coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so now, fast forward about 5, 6, 7, 8 chapters, and we're looking at a very different situation for John the Baptist. He's no longer in the River Jordan. Now he's in prison. And the one who he claimed was the one coming after him, the one he claimed to be the Messiah? Well, John has a rather strange question. He sends his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one? Are you the one that we're supposed to expect? Or is there another? And so this John the Baptist, this weirdo in the wilderness, this freak in the forest, the one who ate locust and wild honey, the one who was supposed to be the prophet that tells us the coming of the Messiah, is starting to have his doubts. Now that's kind of curious, isn't it? I mean, we don't expect John the Baptist to have doubts. I mean, we understand when you and I have doubts, but you know, I mean, John the Baptist is John the Baptist, right? He's not supposed to doubt. Of course, I can kind of understand how that may be the case. You know, I mean, if you're locked away in prison, you got nothing to do but think, right? But still, why would he have his doubts? Because even though Jesus' message to him was, well, tell John what you've seen and heard, you know, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk. He said, people have been raised from the dead. You've seen these things. Surely he had already heard about those things. So what's he questioning? Well, you see, my friends, John the Baptist came with a very distinct message. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. He was preaching hellfire and damnation, you know? He was like a good old country preacher. You better turn or burn, men and women, because if you don't, God's going to get you. And that's exactly the type of message that John had. He was calling out sinners and saying, y'all need to change your lives because God is coming, and if you ain't ready, he's going to get you. And so he was different than everyone else, and he stood out from everyone else. He didn't want to eat or drink with those people. They were sinners, and they better get right. But you see, that's what John expected. But that's not what he got. The Messiah who came had a very different message. Those sinners who better get right before the Messiah came were the very people that the Messiah was eating and drinking with. He was saying, turn or burn, while Jesus was saying, come to me. Come to me. He was talking condemnation, and Jesus was sharing salvation. It's a very different message. And so John wasn't quite sure what was going on. John wanted hellfire and damnation, and Jesus taught about grace and love and mercy. You see, John was surprised by grace. Just like you and I are often surprised by grace. Because see, the interesting thing about this is, the Jesus that we expect to come again is the exact same Jesus that we'll share. The Jesus that John shared with others was one of turn and burn, one of power and might and condemnation and judgment. And there's a lot of our fellow Christians and brothers, that is the same God that they proclaim. And you know something? That's what the world out there has come to expect the message of Christ to be. That's what they expect from us. They expect us to judge them. They expect us to condemn them. They expect us to tell them what kind of sinners they are and how much God hates them. And if they don't get it right, well, they're in trouble. That's what they expect. So let's give them the unexpected Jesus. The Jesus that did come and the Jesus that's going to come again. The one that preaches grace, love, and mercy. The one that shows love, not condemnation. The one that gives grace, not judgment. The one that shows mercy, not hate. You see, my friends, that is the Jesus that's coming again, and that is the Jesus that you and I are called to share. We're called to share that love with the world, not just at Christmas, but all throughout the year. We have a God of love, a God of grace, a God of forgiveness, a God of joy. This is one that we should be thrilled that is coming again, because this is the one that has promised to come to us. We are called to expect the unexpected Jesus, the one who will bring about more love than we can imagine, the one who died for those same sinners he was sent to, that people thought he was coming to condemn. He died for sinners like you and me. Does it really get more unexpected than that? That no matter what you do, that you have a God who not only loves you, but sent his own son to this world, born of a virgin in a barn, to give you life and life eternal. That's unexpected. Now let us go and be that same unexpected presence of Christ in this world. Let those same people see the Christ that they don't expect to see. Let them see our love. Let them see his love through us. Amen.